Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
From Under the Rock Studios in Los Angeles, California, this is The Strange Chameleon Show, a podcast with style, soul, and sarcasm, along with laughter, love, and listen! Follow them now on iTunes. I promise, you won't, I mean you will be entertained.
Yes! Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Strange Chameleon Show. Oh, it's the Strange Chameleon Show. How are you feeling? Strange?
Hey, Chameleon. How are you doing today?
Oh, great. It is a great day. It's not raining, so that's good.
Well, the sky looks very chalky, but you know what? I love it. It's so good.
Yeah. It does look a little chalky, huh?
You know, about a week ago, around this time, I know that the sky was clear, blue. It was beautiful. But now, you know, with smog and just chemtrails, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know how it is.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean.
Well, today we actually attended Mass, right?
Yes, we did.
And interestingly enough, the theme was on hypocrisy. So he who is without sin, throw the first stone.
Cast the first stone.
Well, there are different versions of it.
I know.
No, there are.
There are, yeah. There's different versions, yeah. For sure.
But essentially, you know, it's the same thing. The message is constant. And I completely agree with that, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people want to go ahead and try to whisper discordment among you, among their brothers and sisters, and expect you to be their friend.
Yeah.
To be giddy, to be perfect to them while they are lashing out against you behind your back.
That doesn't seem very nice.
Yeah, no, and it doesn't make sense.
Two-faced, I would say.
It's absolutely two-faced hypocrisy, and it doesn't make any sense. You know, for anyone out there who, I don't know, maybe is guilty of it, or perhaps you are the one being wronged, you know.
Drop us a line.
Drop us a line, but at the end of the day, it should always be just separate yourself from the pack of wolves, because you don't need that. You know?
Yeah.
I don't fall victim to it. I mean, we have all been subjected to that at one point or another. But I don't say that I fall victim to it, because I don't keep going back to the same routine.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't need people like that in my life. I don't need their approval. And I feel like, you know, a lot of the times it's that because you don't need them, that's the fear that you give them, because they think so highly of themselves. There's, you know, they have so much ego and pride. The fact that you don't need them kind of makes them tremble.
So one of the sins is pride.
Well, you know, there's a reason for it.
Right.
So I think, you know, that's sometimes you can intimidate someone, and you can instill fear in someone just by being your fabulous self. And you know what? It's their loss.
That's right.
It's certainly not yours, because you already know what you're not missing out on, you know?
Yes.
Just because you don't attend, you're not present somewhere, doesn't mean you're missing out on anything. Because more than likely, for example, I myself, if I don't go here or there, it's because I already know what's going to happen. And I know I'm not missing out on anything. At least nothing of value, nothing good. So, you know, it's important to always stay strong and have a strong backbone, most definitely.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, chameleon, people that gossip and they spread their venom throughout hallways, they're not happy people.
Doesn't seem like they are.
Yeah. No. And you can be surrounded by a clique and be miserable. You know, mm-hmm. misery loves company.
Yeah.
So just because you're surrounded by people or they're surrounded by people, don't let that, you know, when you walk in power, you don't need anyone.
That's right.
Pardon me, Mr. Perfect. I guess I forgot that you never ever make a mistake.
Right? Exactly.
Well put, Jim Carrey. Well put.
So I just wanted to touch base on that. And also, moving on,
mm-hmm.
Prince Harry believes that Fortnite is an addiction that should not be allowed.
I saw little snippets of this on the news, and I just kind of laughed a little bit, you know? Just because this is coming from a rich guy.
This is
super, super duper rich.
But
extremely
what does that have
rich.
To do with anything? Explain.
Coming from a guy whose whole life is based on media. What is Prince Harry doing? What is he doing? And mm-hmm. he now started a social media platform just to say that comment? I don't know. It's just kind of...
No. Okay. So this is what happened. So
maybe you
got to
break it down.
He went on social media to try it out. Mm. And then this is the impression that he was left with. It's addictive. It ruins relationships. And it does have the capability of ruining relationships.
Right.
Only if you allow it, of course. But it is very addictive. And there are, especially if with kids, there is so much content, mind-numbing content, okay, that your kids, teenagers, people, just people in general, are being bombarded with. And all these images, you know, some people want to say that they don't make time for television or they think it's a waste of time. Well, no, not necessarily, you know. You can watch something that has meaning to it. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I love the entertainment industry, because there are shows that are of value. There are movies that can change you.
Yeah.
But you have to have the humanity in your heart to be able to connect to it. That's the tricky part. So I'm always weary of people that say, I don't like movies. Because almost everyone that I've met that has said that, there's something seriously wrong with them. They're like dead inside. Their spirit is gone. Their spirit
like
has
movies?
Left their body.
Nothing.
Yeah, because
comedy?
You have to have a link to connect you with the emotion on the screen.
Yeah, that's true.
But he apparently made time for social media. And a lot of people, like I said, that's where I was heading, do make time for social media. And it can be such a waste of time, which is why I don't really post. You know, I as far as for the podcast, I try to post once a week, once every 2 weeks on my personal site. But you know what? It's not the greatest platform, but it can be a tool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It could be helpful.
It can be helpful. I did write in a blog piece on this on alltherealparts.com. And there are people that are being diagnosed with addiction to video games. And why do you have that weird smile on your face?
No, I don't. I'm just smiling.
It's a happy day today.
I feel like
there's something behind me.
No.
Like when someone makes funny faces behind you.
No, that's not it at all, actually.
You're just being goofy.
I'm just being goofy.
But what do you think about this?
Well, you just changed my mind. So,
what do you mean?
No, I'm just kidding. No,
Okay.
So, I'm not trying to backpedal, but I just felt like someone who has everything, essentially, and comments that saying that it's very addicting. It's this and that, which it is. I agree. It is addicting, and it's not as bad Well, I guess it ruins relationships, but...
Well, it can.
Games are really addicting where it's like really can damage someone.
It's as addictive as cocaine.
Yeah.
In the brain, it's the same thing.
It's kind of crazy how that chemical.
Yeah.
And it's like a chemical, it's released digitally in a sense. You know,
right.
It's that word.
Yeah.
It's a digital euphoria
addiction.
Or something.
Digital Oh, that should be a song. Digital addiction.
Digital addiction.
Digital addiction. I think we'll go ahead and produce it by next week or something.
Digital addiction. Dun, 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 dun.
Well,
anyways, no, but I think it was just I saw it on the news, a glimpse, and I was like, oh, what's this guy talking about? But after you kind of went over the story a little bit, you know, it kind of makes sense. It is addicting. And,
but what
does he do all day? I mean, if he's not in the media, is he out? he's that's why he's like saying, man, this is so addicting. You guys need to go out and
you guys
know,
need
shoot
to have
some croquet
your,
or.
You guys need to go out golfing all
golfing,
day.
Golfing, you know, all this other stuff. He's an outdoorsman.
Well, this is what... No, he is a busy person.
No, I know.
You know, they...
I'm sure.
They are running... They're making deals with other countries. You know,
yeah.
He's part of the royal family. But he's got a lot going on. You know, he didn't choose his position in life.
I know. It's set by, you know...
Blood.
Blood, essentially, yeah.
So, it's not his fault that he is the type of public individual that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's a positive thing that he's speaking up about this very issue. He also said that game, and I quote, "That game shouldn't be allowed. Where is the benefit of having it in your household? It's created to addict, an addiction to keep you in front of a computer for as long as possible. It's so irresponsible," end quote.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. And you know what? I never understood. There's been reports, you know, the news have reported on these violent video games. But you need to report more on these parents that are buying it for their kids. I mean, video games like Grand Theft Auto, etc., these are expensive games, okay? They don't cost $10.
I know. Isn't it crazy how expensive they are?
When I have a kid, I'm not buying you a video game, period.
Why not? I want a game.
Well, it's not good for you, and you'll thank me when you grow older. And you're not a numbnut like all of them.
I want zombie killers. I want you to shoot some zombies.
It's,
Can I get a gun, Mommy?
No, you can't get a gun. Go do your chores.
Not happening. No chores for my son.
Yes, chores.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's just, it's stupid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Plain and simple.
But it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact, because I had friends in high school that would play these very expensive video games, and they didn't exactly have a lot of money. But their parents would buy these video games. And I understand, you know, maybe they want to make their child feel good, you know. It's like, oh, this is all I want for Christmas. But, you know, as a parent, it's your job to regulate what you're allowing them to have access to.
Regulators!
Mauno.
What is that? Where is that from?
Warren G. You don't know Warren G?
Who's Warren G?
Oh, my gosh. Look him up. He's everywhere.
No, I don't know.
No, they have a classic song called Regulators. Anyways, and you got to regulate these to the
kids.
You
do, yeah. You do. But because it's certainly not going to... A lot of these video games, you know, are rated M for mature, but they bring their parents in or their older brother or whoever, and they'll buy it for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like selling cigarettes.
Defeats the whole purpose of it. You bring up a good point. I wanted to kind of touch base on that with my personal... when I was a kid, I got into games a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, I was very hyper,
mm-hmm.
ADHD. I was all over the place.
All over the walls.
Yeah, literally. Like, they had to like try to catch me because I was bouncing all up and down. But it's It's crazy because I needed something like video games to calm me down. Now, mm-hmm. there are kids like that where they're super hyper in mm-hmm. games. I was into the Game Boy. Mm-hmm. I grew up with like Nintendo, Sega Genesis, the classics, you know. Even Atari. Mm-hmm. I got into Atari a little bit, and then I felt it was very boring, and I kind of moved out to the newest systems. But I do respect the Atari because that was like, back in the day, that was like what started it all with Frogger and all those games. Remember those?
Oh, yeah, I remember Frogger. I would only play Frogger at the school because I didn't have access to video games.
Mm-hmm.
But I know at school, I liked Frogger. I know my cousin would play Donkey Kong. She loved that.
Donkey Kong?
Yeah, Donkey Kong.
It's not Donkey Kong.
It is.
That's so weird.
It's
Donkey. Like a donkey?
Donkey.
Kong.
Donkey Kong.
No. Donkey.
Donkey Kong. No, yeah.
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
Donkey.
Donkey Kong.
Donkey.
Donkey.
Kong.
Donkey Kong.
There you go. There you go. It's not Donkey Kong. That's what you're saying. Some Donkey Kong. Can you imagine that game? My goodness.
Hey, if anyone's listening out there, you guys better create it now.
Better create it, yeah. That'd be interesting.
It'll be good for business.
Mm-hmm. But, no.
No, but you know what?
Yes.
As far as ADHD, there was a teacher that was able to help you. See, ADHD and all these other sorts of mental disorders that they call them, they can be neutralized with art.
That's right.
Art is the answer. For example, you had a teacher who began, because you know, you told me you were so rambunctious
mm-hmm.
that she allowed you, after you do your homework or your school assignment, she said you can go ahead and play on the drums, and you would yeah. bang on the drums.
Well, they weren't drums, it was my desk, and I made it into a drum.
There you go. Yeah. Making it, but drumming, you know,
yeah,
like
I
that
could
motion.
Do,
yeah,
I can do that to get myself. And that worked. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, cool. And
yeah.
I focused
yeah.
and I did my work. As much as I failed, I still got to play.
Yeah.
Nah, I did good. I did good. I was an A student, actually.
That's
surprisingly,
good.
Because of doing that,
see?
I aced the class.
God bless that teacher
yeah.
that did that.
See, that's a really good thing that teachers can use that.
Yeah.
They instead of just like
drugging kids.
Drugging kids or like sending them to the principal's
yeah.
office all the time and things like that. I mean, like, I can't handle you. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
They find that balance.
Right.
And I respect teachers who do that. And they see a gift. And they saw a gift in me. And they knew that, like, let's have him do something that he loves doing. But you have to do some schoolwork, too. And it helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that. But with the games, that helped me too. Like, I was into video games for a little while, and it helped balance me so I can be more calm. And then eventually I just got bored of games, and I got into music, and that was my art. So,
yeah, video games, it's a tricky thing.
It's taken
and
over the
you
world.
Know what's so addictive right now? Candy Crush.
Mm.
I don't understand that game for the life of me.
I don't know if I've seen it or played it.
Candy Crush. It is so big right now. Mm. Almost everyone with a phone has it downloaded.
Wow.
It's so, like,
how
all you do.
How much money that person's making.
All you do is just click on these, like, diamonds.
Uh-huh.
What looks like fine stones. You know, it's not always diamonds. It's stones. And then somehow, oh yeah, like this pattern aligns, you just uncovered this. It's really just it's dumb.
Is it like a Tetris kind of game?
What's Tetris?
Oh my god. It's like I'm talking to a wall here.
I'm not very
right. You did mention that you forewarned me.
I did forewarn.
Anyways, I don't have to explain the game. People that
yeah.
hear this podcast know what Tetris is, but it's kind of like blocks and figures that come down from the sky. And you put them
yeah.
in certain areas. So,
yeah, it is like that.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah,
okay,
kind of like that. Yeah,
yeah. They have a lot of them now, and it's kind of like a strategic. type of...
Whatever happened, you know, because
uses
I,
your brain a little bit?
I don't think it uses the brain. You know what?
A little bit, I say. Just a little bit.
A little bit.
To put, like, boxes
Well, you
got to
use your brain to move your finger. You do use the brain.
Yeah, I guess a little bit. That's what I'm saying.
Lift a finger
yeah, exactly.
and press on that, on the screen. But whatever happened to reading a book? You know what I mean?
Boring.
See, when no, I, years ago, when I used to take public transportation,
yeah.
I had a book.
Yeah.
You know, my cell phone wasn't the type of phone that where you would go on the internet because it wasn't like what it is now. You know, every phone has internet now. Even if you get like the cheapest plan, you will have internet.
Oh, yeah.
But back in these times, it wasn't. It was like right at that point when it was becoming big, when internet was going to be on every single cell phone. But even then, you know, it's just so many people would be texting or on the phone.
Yeah.
And whatever happened to reading a book? I would get a book. I would open it, you know, read Edgar Allan Poe or something.
Yeah.
The Train and... a magazine, something.
No.
Read. It's better than just, you know, mindlessly pressing on a screen.
Yeah. I actually did a little bit of that too. I would read, or at least my mom a long time ago would teach me, you know, to sit down and just kind of read a book or read.
All she
something.
Does is read.
Yeah. She's definitely dedicated on reading. She has read, I mean, you name it, she's probably have read it.
Yeah, a little too much, though. Her house falling apart and she's still reading.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, so we kind of learn how to read and we learn how...
An earthquake could hit and she'll still be reading.
She'll still be reading that same novel, you know? She's like,
yeah.
Wow, this is so realistic.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously. But reading is...
It's very important to do. I think
it's way better.
Yeah, than looking at your phone. I definitely agree. Reading an actual book but it's sad. But places like Barnes and Noble
the
other one
yeah.
Are just going out of business a little bit. That no one, not a lot of people are buying books because everything's from Amazon and it's taking over.
You know what? Amazon has already taken over.
Have they?
Break it to you.
Oh my gosh!
It's already happened. There's a hat by a publishing company, Make America Read Again.
Oh.
I want to buy that hat.
Yeah.
Make America Read Again.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's just so much on social media right now, and it's, you know, difficult for people to put their phone down. I remember. The one time, okay, this happened a few weeks ago, I deleted my Instagram app. And I never really need Instagram. You know, it's not my only source of communication. People that I need to communicate to, I'll send them an email, text, call. And the only time when I found myself that I needed to communicate with someone that was only accessible through Instagram, I didn't have the app. And then I was just, you know, in a daze, in a haze, in haste, trying to re-download the app and all that. But you know what I found? The days that I did not have the Instagram app, my battery was able to last all day.
Interesting.
By the end of the day, I had like 60%.
Wow.
Which is great.
Without using the Instagram all
yeah.
the time. See how like it drains it.
Well, I don't really use Instagram all the time anyways. After I wrote that blog piece, which was so informative for me because it opened my eyes too. You know what I mean? Honestly, you're better off watching something on television because everyone has time to unwind. And if you don't have time to unwind, I'm sorry to hear that because you need... To unwind, it's great for the mind, you know. You need some rest and relaxation, everyone. And, you know, there are some good things on television. 9-1-1 is an incredible show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that show.
I love that show.
It kind of got me into it.
I did get you into it.
Because I was like, 9-1-1, what is this, another...
Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, or
no, I never
Reno 911 or something. It kind of seemed like.
Well, that's supposed to be a sitcom.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but anyways, there's all sorts of things. You know, you just have to manage your time well. That's all. That's all you got to do. But with social media, there's also this weird thing called ghosting. Are you aware of this?
No, explain this.
Explain.
Ghost. Explain.
You sound like you're guilty of doing it, actually.
Ghosting.
Well, ghosting is when, you know, you're not in communication with someone in real life, especially when people break up with each other, but you're still going on their social media page.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And like socially stalking them.
I've heard the term, but never really had it explained to me. So yeah. That's
I think it's one of the most, I think only cowards do that.
Yeah.
You know, if you claim not to care about this individual, then why are you going on their social media page and trying to go on their website or whatever, trying to see what they're up to?
Right.
And I feel like it's because they can't admit it to themselves that you're a fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're a fan. Jealousy. Exactly. Or, you know, you still want part of that person's life. But you can't admit it to them, or maybe, you know, it's something that you did. But, you know, someone out there that went through a breakup and you're still going back, you got to move on. You know, don't look back, because that's essentially the version of looking back, you know, when you're supposed to be moving forward.
Right.
Just move on with your life. Don't worry about it. They're gone. They're out of your life. You're not in communication with them. Why are you scrolling through their page? I feel like it's sort of like you're sabotaging your own peace, your own well-being.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone that's guilty of this?
Not off the top of my head, no. I can't think of anybody who really does that, but...
I know a few people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. Well, I mean, family's always in my life. Can't really ghost with family being in your life. It's usually something related to like an ex-girlfriend or a boyfriend.
No,
or something,
not
right?
Always that. It can be anyone. It can be anyone, because, you know, if someone is saying that, hey, they don't really follow you or they're not up to what you're doing, but yet they are, you know.
Oh, I see.
I've actually spoken about this to a former coworker, and we agreed that family is the most guilty of doing this, because they're just doing it being nosy.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's being nosy. You know, if you have a relationship with people, a healthy relationship with them, doesn't matter who it is, then there's no need for that. Like, you know, if you go on their page, you'll like a post, as opposed to, oh, I saw this happen, but, you know, they're very mute on social media.
Yeah, and they won't comment, they won't say anything.
Right, but yet they claim to be happy for you, or, you know, so there are many levels of ghosting.
I see.
And it's pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of being on social media if you can't be interactive? I mean, social media, the way they sold this to us is it's a way to keep in touch with people.
Yeah.
So no. If you're not keeping in touch through social media, then what are you doing?
Right. I mean, people are doing social media, but no one really follows up too much on phone calls and calling directly.
Mm-hmm. It's part of that whole being a busybody.
Yeah.
You know, preoccupying yourself with nonsense.
I see.
Yeah. But, you know, to each his own, sadly enough.
Yeah.
But there's a new film on the market, Unplanned. Have you heard of this? It's from the director, producers of God's Not Dead, you know, faith-based films like that.
It's a film of not having everything all together. They were unplanned on making the film, and so they just called it Unplanned, I think,
no,
right?
That's not what it's
Isn't
about.
Isn't it?
No. It's the other side of Planned Parenthood.
Oh, interesting.
So this woman by the name Abby Johnson, she used to work for Planned Parenthood. She started off as a volunteer. She was a licensed therapist. And before she knew it, she became director of a clinic. She was making good money, attending fundraisers, sitting, you know, next to politicians at very, very fancy, extravagant dinners. And she came to realize that the goal of Planned Parenthood is for them to perform more abortions. So her clinic, for example, as just an example, had like 20,000 abortions or 25,000 abortions that year. And then the quota. Yeah, the quota that was expected for the following year was like 40,000.
Wow.
So she took a step back and said, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. You know, we're supposed to be for a woman not getting pregnant in the first place, you know, because abortions are not a walk in the park. I mean, not only is it like surgery, it's a medical procedure.
Yeah. And it's very emotional, too, because
absolutely.
For the women.
She said, you know, almost all of the women that would come in for an abortion, you know, everyone has a different reason. A lot of them were just an emotional mess. She said they always asked, will my baby feel anything? And her response had to be, no, sensory development doesn't start until... I believe it was, 32 weeks, something like that, she was told to say. But that's not necessarily the truth. And soon she realized that because in one of the abortions that was taking place, she was brought into the room by a doctor who was for the first time using a sonogram. So for the first time, she was able to see this baby that was about to be terminated.
Whoa.
Inside the womb. And the moment that he inserted the clasps to, you know, terminate the unborn child, it moved. It jerked.
Wow.
So it's like, and this was an eye-opener because, wait a minute, this fetus is supposed to not feel anything.
Yeah.
Why is it aware, right?
Why
is it moving like it's trying to get away from it?
It's reacting.
Right. So long story short, she realized that what she had been taught and programmed to say by Planned Parenthood wasn't exactly the truth and nothing but the truth. You know what I mean? There were certain things that were obviously modified, and it wasn't 100% scientific fact. So from there, she's now an advocate for life, and she is against abortion. I feel like, you know, we need to have a conversation about both issues. We can't just go for one and not want to hear the other.
Yeah.
And especially someone that has had an abortion or is thinking of having one, it's just good to be informed. You know, you can't make an informed decision if you only listen to one side of the story. You know, that's like gossip. That's how gossip works. You just hear what someone is whispering in your ears. Oh my gosh, she this and that. Oh, her. But you gotta, you know the other side of the story too, or if you care to. Mm-hmm. So you just, that's called being informative. Being informed, excuse me.
Did you hear what Strange just said the other day? Yeah. I know about gossip during high school, and everyone just gossiped all the time. I never even heard that crap. I never tuned it in and listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
People would gossip all the time to say like, oh, so-and-so. Oh, my God. Did you hear that so-and-so? Did you hear? Did mm-hmm. you hear? Obviously, mm-hmm. you heard it from someone else.
Right.
And so I was like, did you get the facts?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the facts straight first?
No,
did you
they
know?
Did not.
Did you hear it from the horse's mouth directly? No, you heard it from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't be doing that. That's how everything gets spread.
Yeah.
And that's how AIDS was developed. You know, it's just that it all started from gossip. Yeah.
No, it did not. I'm just kidding. Well, you know what? Speaking of AIDS, there's a doctor, Dr. Sebi, who believed he could cure AIDS.
Oh, yes.
So this is...
Wait.
Yeah. It falls under that whole Twilight Zone.
Conspiracy. We all die once we start mentioning his name, so we got to be
careful. No. That is not true, Chameleon. Well, rapper Nipsey.
Truth is, I never heard of him. and, you know, God bless his soul. He's passed away now. But he was a rapper, and he...
Nipsey Hussle. He was shot outside of his store.
He owned a store.
Yes. Yeah. He owned a clothing store. He was shot, killed outside of his store.
Right in, directly in Atlanta. Right?
No, it happened here in South LA.
Oh, South LA. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Georgia or Atlanta. Georgia, right? Yeah. Anyways. But he was over in South LA. Yeah. And he was from the Roots. He didn't want to leave his area.
Yeah. No, he actually used his finances.
His fame.
His power. Yeah, yeah. He used it for good. And, you know, he would open stores. Basically, he was investing in his hometown.
Which is really rare.
It is very rare.
To do good.
Because
with
people
your fame.
Know, most people, you know, you take the money and you run literally for the hills, mm-hmm. you know, and you buy your fancy homes.
And you forget
up on
your
the hills.
Roots and you just kind of live a luxurious life.
Yeah. And now there's nothing. It's okay to live a luxurious life, but mm-hmm. it's also okay to give back. It's okay to not forget where you come from. And that's definitely something that he held himself up to. And sadly, he was shot, killed. And Dr. Sebi has been circulating on the internet as of late because this is where it all trails back. So Lisa Left Eye.
Mm-hmm.
When
it's my girl.
When from TLC. When she passed away, she was in the middle of doing a documentary on Dr. Sebi. And now that someone else took the challenge, or at least embarked on that journey, he's now dead. So that's where all these, theories, people are theorizing that, you know, perhaps it has to do with... I mean, make no mistake... If anyone says that there is a cure for something, you know, that is just not how the medical business works. That's not how pharmaceuticals don't want you cured. They want you treated
mm-hmm.
because it is a business.
Yeah. They keep you numb.
So make your own opinions, draw your own conclusions from this odd scenario. It is odd. You can't deny it.
Yeah.
Okay, the timing.
The timing, yeah.
It's weird, but a little bit about Dr. Sebi. He was arrested at the airport of Honduras, and then he was extradited here to America, where he was put on trial for claiming that he could cure an illness, because, you know, that's, you can't be doing that and treating people, treating patients. If you're not licensed to practice medicine. So the judge told him, bring at least one cured patient. He claimed to cure cancer, AIDS. And he told him, bring at least one. And he brought 77 patients. Cured.
Wow.
Not treated.
Cured.
Not well, but cured. So, you know, there's a lot of talk and theories around his death. A friend of Nipsey Hussle was on Instagram Live. And I saw a recorded video of this. I wasn't watching it live when it was actually happening. But he said that everyone knows that his death is deeper than what the media is elaborating, which is, you know, gun violence.
Yeah,
you know, there was gun violence involved, but was there an ulterior motive? Perhaps.
Yeah.
Holy moly macaroni. That's funny. Someone just said that.
It's just, yeah, it's very confusing of like, and weary how something like that would happen. I mean, I don't trust the media. If someone says anything,
you know,
that, I don't trust any of that.
A lot of people don't trust the media. Elon Musk came up with he did his own little poll on Twitter. Do you trust the media? Or do you not trust? Would you want the media, also Twitter, to be held to a different standard? For example, for them to really do the research on stories. He proposed an idea where if anyone ran a story on anything, it had to be proven that it was indeed true. It wasn't just something that was fabricated, and then you're just running on some story, like, you know, running on a rumor, basically.
Yeah.
But feeding it to everyone as fact. So his poll, a lot of people, like 80% in the high 70s or low 80s, 80% of people said that they don't trust the media.
That's a high percent.
That is a high percent.
High percent.
And since then,
we just now have to convince the other 20.
Since then,
jump on board.
You know, his project of underground commuting is complete. He created successfully one tunnel, and now he's being criticized that this tunnel is not nearly as advanced as they had presumed it would be. I feel like this is my strange theory on this, that now, yeah, and you can quote me on that. I feel like it's just, they're sour and bitter.
Hold on. One second.
I gotta wait for this to be over, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, come on. I just think that it's, they're trying to get him back for that poll in several things. Ever since he was in Joe Rogan and he exposed the fraud
Elon
behind...
Elon Musk, we're talking.
Yes, yeah. Elon Musk, ever since he was on Joe Rogan podcast and he exposed just what a crock stocks can be and all that, things have been kind of going down for him when
really?
It comes to... Yeah, in front of social media. When it comes to social media, he's not being, you know, worshipped the way that he was.
And I'm sure he knew that, but...
I don't think he did. He was high when he said...
No, he was kind of like already on that point before he even smoked anything. Okay. He was already kind of talking that way, and he was acting kind of strange. But I think his heart was really giving in to, like, the people, and he just knew what was going on, and he wanted to kind of inform us, mm-hmm. essentially. So I think he had a good heart, and he meant well to really give out some good information for us, mm-hmm. and it all tripped us out. I mean, Joe Rogan had, like, huge ratings from that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, more than he's had on a lot of – he's had a lot of ratings, but that was, like – astronomical. It was,
yeah,
really good.
A whole lot.
And but it was really
good.
Yeah, it was a good episode, and a lot of people tuned in, and that's all I heard from other people, like in my jobs that I would go, people would talk about that. So, but he kind of, his heart was in the right place, and that,
yeah,
when you kind of give your heart to people, some respond differently. Some won't follow you. Some were like, this guy, blah, blah, blah. Or some will be like, I respect that, and I'm going to follow him more.
If you're being so genuine and so open to a system that doesn't appreciate anything like that.
Right.
There's going to be backlash, especially, you know, the type of industry that he's in.
Yeah.
They don't want him to talk. They don't want him to say all this. It's obvious. Everyone knows that, though.
Do you think, here's my little theory, they wanted him to say it?
No.
Because I think they kind of did. I think they kind of, everyone gives approval, because if you say something like that, they could
spill
easily,
the beans.
Yeah, they could easily just, like, you know, cut you off from everything, and you don't have any more work at all. Like, and they can just blacklist you like that.
Well, they can't blacklist him. He's too rich.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're like, now they are, they, you know, throwing little cheap shots at him.
Yeah.
That's what's happening right now.
Well, I think it was a plan to do that. I think somehow maybe they coached him to be like, yeah, you can talk about that. You can say whatever you want and all this. And keep in mind that some media is not going to like it. You're going to see a downgrade in your social media following, but don't worry, it'll go back up. You know, it's kind of like a little coach. Could be my theory. It's like everything's so premeditated, so planned thoroughly. They're so smart in what they do. I think it was all just part of the plan. Or maybe it was just him speaking from his heart. You know, you never know.
Feel like it was, you know, I will never forget that moment when he said, when Elon and Joe Rogan were talking about AI, and he said in such a robotic tone, more monotone than mine, I might add, more monotone than
mine.
He said, I tried to warn them, they wouldn't listen, they didn't care to listen. It was so creepy.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he's met with government officials and he's told them, like, listen, this AI is no bueno. You know, this is going to be bad for us.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time before, you know, they turn against us. And he really believes, like, we're all doomed. And that's why now he just entertains himself with projects and doing and making holes in the ground and this and that. If you watch the podcast, that's exactly what I got out of it. He believes it's already too late. I don't believe it's already too late. I mean, you know, you're talking about someone that maybe doesn't have a spiritual side to him for whatever reason. And I believe that he is, that he can have good intentions. But what he knows has brought him down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, emotionally and everything.
Yeah, it's kind of like affected him.
Taking a toll on him, finally.
Yeah, you know, because too much knowledge can be just that, too much.
And the technology and his smartness has, you know, his intelligence.
Yeah.
And bringing this technology to people's eyes, it's kind of like, and they use that for evil or whatever, you know, for the wrongdoings, and he doesn't have control. When you give control to other people of what you created, you know, you got to be careful with that, because they use it for whatever they want and you can't say anything because you got paid. So you should always keep a little part of something, of some control, so you can have a say and try to alter things. But
well, this is bizarre. Amazon bans vaccine documentary but allows child sex dolls to be sold on their website.
What? What? Can you repeat that?
Did I throw you off there, Chameleon?
Yeah, what are we talking about here?
Amazon bans vaccine documentaries, but it allows child sex dolls to be sold on their website.
Oh, my gosh.
For creeps. Look at this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's weird.
But a vaccine documentary, they're going to ban that?
Yeah. But you can sell sex dolls that look like children. That's okay.
That's just wrong.
We are living in the Twilight Zone. I mean, you guys, we really are.
Yeah. It's very bizarre.
Yeah. But you know what? There's still so much good.
There is.
And the Strange Chameleon Show commits ourselves to being part of that good. And, you know, finding humor in the darkness and in the strangeness. You have to. You have to laugh about it. Because if you don't, you're just going to get consumed way too much.
Yeah.
And there's light. There's so much light.
Well, speaking of consumption, it's very, I stumbled upon an article. You guys can check it out. It's on CNBC.com. It's a tech news there. But basically, it's... So, we all know how Netflix is huge. I mean, they're doing really well, and they're just skyrocketing, right? Everyone loves Netflix.
That reminds me, I have to watch the new Irresponsible. I believe it's called Irresponsible by Kevin Hart, his new sitcom. It's so good. I hear it's so good.
Yeah.
He was just on Joe Rogan.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday. It's really good.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely have to check that out.
Well, you better.
But, so, how Netflix is sending the biggest media companies into a frenzy. So, it's kind of weird because, okay, AT&T, let me just break it down a little bit for you. AT&T is buying Time Warner, if you did not know that. And it's going to take effect in June, but they bought Time Warner's companies for $85 billion. That's a lot of money. Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
And
think about what you could do with that money.
There's so much you can do.
So much good.
$1 billion, you're set for life.
No, $1 million, you're set for life.
Oh, yeah. Well, not really. 1 million people blow through a million like nothing.
Well, that's if they don't know how to manage money.
Right, right. You can actually do very well. You can set aside half of that and be set for your life, you know? It's not a problem. If you guys hear this in the background, there's a musician next door to us. And
maybe we should jam with him.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, in a nutshell, they bought them, and there's a lot of companies now. Time Warner, if you did not know, Time Warner owns like Warner Brothers. It's all kind of linked to
it's all part of the Warner
company
behemoth.
Yeah, that's right. And they're just scared. So a lot of these companies, like AT&T, is buying them for a purpose because they want the competition, because they know that Netflix is doing very well and no one's really tuning into TV shows that much. Everything's on Netflix and so forth. So they want to stay in the competition, and they're getting a little scared. And so they wanted to buy them out so they can be able to... Now, I'm not too sure if it's a merge, but from the article, it sounds like it's more of like a merge. They're buying a lot of their properties and owning the rights to them so they can do what they want and make a type of a Netflix, Amazon kind of thing going on. They want to
they can do their own streaming.
That's right. That's all they want.
Everyone wants to do their own streaming nowadays.
And they you know what? So many of their
that will create companies. More quality entertainment.
Yeah,
it will, and it has, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That is the wrap up on the entertainment news for that techie guy, Mr. Chameleon.
Well, I wasn't really done, but sure, I guess so. All right.
Well, we're done with time, so you got to be done.
All right. You're right. We'll catch up next time on that. Well, thank you all for listening to The Strange Chameleon Show. Remember, if you can't read a book very long, jam on!
Have a strange night. Have strange dreams.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.